Worship the Lord tonight.
Amen.
I tell you what, it's good to be a message believer tonight. And, if anybody should know how to worship God, it should be us, right? With all that's been poured out to us and all that's been shown to us. Tonight I want to look at 2 Kings chapter 8 and just kind of look at a little story here tonight. Maybe just kind of help us in the middle of the week, or maybe one day short of the middle of the week. But anyway, let's just go to the Lord in prayer before we get into the word. Lord God, we're so happy, Lord Jesus, to be able to serve you tonight and to be able to look into your word and see what your will is for us. And we pray, God, that you'll open up the ears of the hearer, Lord, and open up my mouth to speak your truth, Lord Jesus. And we ask, Lord, that you'll just feel welcome here tonight, Lord. That you would come in your spirit, Lord, would just move up over the word, just like the same way that you moved over the waters, Lord, before, as the world was being formed, Lord, and just create an atmosphere of worship here, Lord Jesus, that we might be able to receive exactly what is needful for us now in this time, Lord. And we thank you, Lord Jesus, for your word that you've given unto us, Lord. And we know that when your word is spoken, it will not return void, but it will produce what it was intended to produce. And we ask, Lord Jesus, tonight, Lord God, that our hearts would be willing, Lord Jesus, to receive your word, Lord, and to accept the things that have been preached, Lord Jesus. Grant it, Lord God, that you'll, Lord, come and just quicken the word to us now, we pray. Let this not just be just a normal gathering, Lord, but Lord, a gathering of the true worshipers that know the revelation and the purpose for the hour that we're living in, Lord, to know your will for this hour. We ask this thing in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. So tonight I want to preach on the will of God, and maybe taking a little odd scripture from the Bible. But, it's, you know, the Old Testament, especially the First and Second Kings, are so full of these little nuggets of stories I was reading this story to my family a few weeks ago. And, you know, these little stories, I believe, really are like a proof that the message of the hour that we believe is true. Because after studying the message and all of these things, you can go back into the Old Testament. Right. And see surfaced the things that we believe and hold dear. We know that the message is true and the Bible is true because of how these things tie so perfectly together and how it's just interlaced. And the things that we believe are not just some fable, cunningly devised fable, but the things that we believe are true. So let's look at 2 Kings chapter 8 verses 1 through 6 and maybe call your attention to, maybe Brother Matthew, if he were here, he would point out the number, the numeric value of this particular chapter, number 8. It's very striking that this story appears in 2 Kings chapter 8. And it says, "Then spake Elisha unto the woman." The woman is not named. She's never named here. "Whose son he had restored to life, saying, Arise and go thou and thine household, and sojourn wheresoever thou canst sojourn, for the Lord hath called for a famine, and it shall also come upon the land 7 years. And the woman arose and did after the saying of the man of God, And she went with her household and sojourned in the land of the Philistines 7 years. And it came to pass at the 7 years' end that the woman returned out of the land of the Philistines, and she went forth to cry unto the king for her house and for her land. And the king talked with Gehazi, the servant of the man of God, saying, tell me, I pray thee, all the great things that Elisha hath done. And it came to pass, as he was telling the king how he had restored a dead body to life, that behold, the woman whose son he had restored to life cried to the king for her house and for her land. And Gehazi said, my lord, O king, this is the woman, and this is her son, whom Elisha restored to life. And when the king asked the woman, she told him. So the king appointed unto her a certain officer, saying, restore all that was hers, and all the fruits of the field since the day that she left the land, even until now. You may be seated. The Lord bless the word. And of course, many of you here are already catching the revelation of what this is kind of hidden in this little story. And you might wonder, well, Brother Bob, why did you take from this text the will, a topic of the will of God? Why would you read this story and begin to talk about the will of God? Well, I believe in this hour that we're living in, there are many people, maybe even tonight, that are probing and searching for the will of God in their life, and they don't know how to find it, and they don't know what it is, and they don't know. Thinking about and meditating on this sermon, I began to listen to a denominational preacher that preached a pretty good sermon on the will of God. But you know, I would even posit this afternoon, I would throw out that denomination churches do not know what the will of God is. They know it to a certain extent or whatever, but only the bride of Christ, only the bride in this day that has heard the message of the hour knows the will of God, the purpose and plan to be able to sit here tonight and know what your purpose is and know why you're sitting here and have an understanding of what you're doing here and what you've heard and know the will of God. And you know, the will of God, this little woman, I believe, this little woman will types the bride, because she was a woman that her desire was to seek after the will of God. She wanted to be walking in the perfect will of God for her life. She wanted to be, her life to be lined up in the right way. And you know, a few chapters back, if you go read where her story starts, she one day the prophet Elisha began to come through, and she said, she caught a hold that this man was something was different about this man. And she told her husband, who was getting a little bit older in years, she said, I think that this is a man of God. So she prepared a place. She talked her husband into making a little room in her house. And you see, when you recognize the word and you make a room in your heart for the word and allow him to come and abide in you, just like she made room in her house for the word to come, then you'll receive. What you're doing is you're lining yourself up with the will of God. You're getting it. And maybe tonight, I know many people have different kind of conceptions of what the will of God is, and some people think it's like connecting dots, if you can kind of go from one place to another. But tonight, maybe I would just kind of want to paint a picture of the will of God is like if you're being nestled under eagle's wings. If you're nestled safe and secure under the wings of God, you are firmly into the will of God. And so she maybe had dots of her life going all different directions, but yet she wanted the word of God, you see. She wanted what this prophet had to say. She wanted a connection to God. And so, first of all, in her life, she recognized the man of God, and she invited him into her home. And what she did was she prepared a resting place for him so that when he was weary, he'd have a place to rest his head. And you know, in the whole story, she never asked anything for herself. It was all given to this man of God. And so when he came and he told his servant, I want to do something for this woman. I want to do something for her. And Gehazi looked, well, she doesn't have a child, and she never asked for a child. But God laid upon Elijah's heart to speak that word to her, to give her a son, to promise her a son, that he would give her this give her this promise, you see. And then the promised son died, and yet she clung to this desire to know the will of God. Why did my son die? And so she went chasing after Elijah with that positive confession that we know so much about. All is well, she told her husband. All is well is what she told Gehazi. And if I'm pronouncing that name wrong, you forgive me. I'm just trying to do the best I can with what I got. And she went and she fell down at Elijah's feet and she said, I'm not going to leave you until you come to my house. And Elijah went and see, Elijah was searching for the will of God also. He's searching for the correct approach. He paces back and forth. He prays and he's doing all these things. And finally he lays himself down on that child and his body began to go warm and he lays himself down mouth to mouth, head to head, fingers to fingers. And Brother Branham said it was like taking a prayer cloth and putting it on a sick person. But you see, Brother Branham explained that created a channel because the word of God was in that man so much that the spirit of the living God could pass from him into that dead child and raise him to life. You see, that's walking in the word. That's walking in the will of God. If we could find the will of God for our lives, if we could find the plan of God for our lives, he'll raise us. We'll see God raised out of history. We'll see God move us out of our dead ideas and our old ideas, our carnality, into a living reality of a living God. I believe that's what the will of God is. Because you see, we need to know the will of God. It's important to know the will of God. You know, there's maybe you could say two different kinds, two different ways of looking at the will of God. In Psalm chapter 33, it talks about I'll say like the determinative will of God. It just lays out a plan that there is going to be, we'll say like this, there is going to be a bride. There's going to be seven church ages. There's going to be somebody in each church age to receive the word, to believe the word. There is going to be these things. It's that God has determined it. He said it. It's going to be. And in Psalm chapter 33, verses 4 to 11, it says, for the word of the Lord is right, and all his works are done in truth. He loveth righteousness and judgment. The earth is full of the goodness of the Lord. By the word of the Lord were the heavens made, and all the host of him by the breath of his mouth. In other words, God spoke it and it didn't matter whether or not you believed it or not. God spoke it and it came to pass. He spoke it and the world was formed. He just determined it. He said it and that's the way it is. He gathered the waters of the sea together as an heap. He layeth up the depth in storehouses. Let all the earth fear the Lord. Let all the inhabitants of the world stand in awe of him. For he spake and it was done. He commanded and it stood fast. The Lord bringeth the counsel of the heathen to naught. He maketh the devices of the people of none effect. The counsel of the Lord standeth forever. The thoughts of his heart to all generations. In other words, when God says it, it's done. It's going to happen. Now, we want to get down to a more individual level because God spoke it, but yet there's an individual personal will of God for your life. And that works a little bit in a different way because you can allow the will of God to take effect in your life and you can prevent it. And you see, there's the will of God here that I want to talk about tonight and your self-will. And self-will is opposed to the will of God. What we want to do, we want to let that self-will die out and allow so that the will of God can take preeminence in our lives. Let me read another scripture before I kind of go on from that line of thought. In Daniel chapter 2, and this is one we quote so many times, and yet it seems like we struggle with this. We struggle with really accepting this. Daniel answered and said, blessed be the name of God forever and ever, for wisdom and might are his. And he changeth the times and the seasons. He removeth kings and setteth up kings. He giveth wisdom unto the wise and knowledge to them that know understanding. In other words, that's God's deterministic will. He just says, I'm going to put in kingship whoever I want to. There's another scripture that I've forgotten right now that says that he can bend the will, the heart of the king, whatever way he wants to. He can make the king think this or think that because it's his will. He's using, as Martin Luther would say, he's allowing the government of the world to fulfill his law so that people are punished for doing wrong, so that people are rewarded for doing good by putting in his deterministic will into the things of the world. You say, well, maybe what I want to get across tonight is, we think that we're influencing elections and things. We think when we go to the poll and vote, we're having this great big influence and everything. But really, God, it's all up to God. God puts somebody in power so that his will can be fulfilled. And you look at who the president of the United States is and all these things, and we worry so much about Republican and Democrat or whatever. But yet, the person that's in power is in power so that God's will can be fulfilled. Whether it's or not, so that they can have a relationship with Israel, and so that this can happen and that can happen and all these things. It's so that God's will can be fulfilled. And regardless of who's in power, whether it's a Republican or whether it's a Democrat or whatever, I might get in trouble for it, but I'm not afraid of you tonight. because you see, it's all working according to God's plan and purpose. It doesn't matter who's in power. God is the one that put them in power. It's God's deterministic will. And you see, with your personal life, his will works a little differently. He's got a will for you. He wants things to happen in your life. He wants you to be blessed. He wants things to take place. But you are the one that prevents things from happening. You are the one that prevents God's blessings from happening in your life. So there's two kind of ways of looking at will. There's that global overarching view of will that God says there's going to be seven church ages. There's going to be a bride. But because there's going to be a bride doesn't necessarily mean that each individual in this church tonight is part of that. It's up to you to be a part of that bride or not. So if you pull up that definition of will in the Greek lexicon, where the definition is what one wishes or has determined shall be done. Now you see, God is not, he's not, and when we think of his will, he's not surprised. He's not surprised at who's going to believe tonight. He's not surprised. He's got it all planned out. He knows in advance who will believe and who will not. He knows tonight who will go from this church service and think, well, I just slept the whole way through it. I didn't really get anything from it. He knows in every church service what will happen. He knows the complete plan of your life. He knows the end from the beginning. But He and all of that is part of his will because he's not surprised. He knows what's going to happen. And if you're kind of getting into the spirit of the message tonight, the will of God, let's be plain what I'm referring to. The will of God is his word. And his word is eternal. And his word governs how things should be, what will take place, all of these different kind of things. What will the will for your life? And God's will, we think a lot of times when we want to find the will of God that is somehow hidden, that there's some kind of maybe something that we could maybe stumble over and stumble our way into the will of God, or maybe we'll cry and expect some lightning bolt to strike us, or we don't realize, I think, how plain the will of God is. If God is going to hold us responsible for the will of God, then he will make it easy to find. He will make a way for us to be able to get to it. And so many times we in our minds we think that the will of God is some obscure thing that we can barely grab a hold to, that who knows the real will of God, that maybe we almost spiritualize it so much that maybe if we're you're going out of church and you stop at the gas station and you look and see what price the gas that you're pumping is. is, and it might fall on a certain set of numbers, and you will spiritualize that so much into maybe advising us on, oh, well, I need to buy this house with this street number, and I'm just kind of making an example off the cuff, but you see, that's not how you find the will of God. The will of God is very easy to find. All you have to do is go home and open up the pages of your Bible and sit there in the quiet and meditate upon the Word of God, and you will find the will of God. John, let's read John chapter 4, verses 31 to 34. In the meanwhile, his disciples prayed him, saying, Master, eat. But he said unto them, I have meat to eat that ye know not of. Therefore said the disciples one to another, hath any man brought him aught to eat? Jesus saith unto them, my meat is to do the will of him that sent me and to finish his work. And you think, well, that was for Jesus. In Matthew chapter 7, 21, verse 21, it says, not everyone that saith unto me, Lord, Lord, shall enter into the kingdom of heaven, but he that doeth the will of my Father which is in heaven. So you see, it's important to be able to do the will of the Lord. How can you do the will of the Lord if you don't know what His will is? It's very important to know what the will of the Lord is. And that's why I'm getting back to my point. You've got to be able to come to a church that can communicate to you what the will of the Lord is. The will of the Lord, there's a famine in the land for knowing what the will of the Lord is. In Ephesians chapter 5, verses 15 to 17, see then that ye walk circumspectly, not as fools, but as wise, redeeming the time because the days are evil. Wherefore, be not unwise, but understanding what the will of the Lord is. You should understand what the will of the Lord is. And again, what the will of the Lord is His Word. How can you know what to do? How can you know how to behave yourself in the congregation of the Lord? How can you know everything but from church order to who you should marry and how you should conduct yourself at work and what you should even aspire to in your Christian journey? How can you even know what you're doing here without knowing what the will of the Lord is? Matthew chapter 12, verse 48 to 50 says, but he answered and said unto him that told him, who is my mother and who are my brethren? And he stretched forth his hand toward his disciples and said, behold, my mother and brethren, for whosoever shall do the will of my Father which is in heaven, the same is my brother and sister and mother. So he disconnected from himself all kind of natural relations, there's no genealogy in this. There's no kind of natural familial thing. What it is what he's saying is, if you'll do the will, if you'll understand the word and then perform the word by knowing what the word requires for you, by seeking after those things, then the same as my brother and sister, my mother. That's the same with my family members. If you want to be part of the family of God, understand what His will is and meet the requirements of the will. In Amos chapter 8, I got to hit this too, because you see, the little woman, Elisha sent the little woman away because there was a famine coming in the land. She sent her away for 7 years. And Amos chapter 8 verse 11 says, behold, the days come, saith the Lord God, that I will send a famine in the land, not a famine of bread, not a thirst for water, but of hearing the words of the Lord. And I want to just point out that it's not a famine of the preaching of the word, because the word is being preached. The word is being preached all around the world. And of course, there's false preachers and there's true preachers and everything in between, if you could say it like that. There's all kinds of things being preached. But yet the word is being preached. And also we've got the word on 1100 tapes that you can play in your car or whatever. There is, the word is available to you. The will of God is available to you. But you see, there's a famine for the hearing of the word in the land. Because what happens is the people's eyes have become so cloaked, their eyes have become so covered, and their ears are clogged up with their own self-will, with the things that they think to be true, that they cannot understand
understand what the will of God is. And so they're wandering about in confusion, wandering from church to church, from place to place. You know, riding on the subway to work, you look around and you begin to think the whole world is just wandering in confusion. Nobody knows what they're here for. That's why people commit suicide and why they get depressed and all these things, because they don't know the will and the purpose of God for their life. They don't know what they're doing here for. They think that it's just an endless vain journey, that one day they'll fall into the grave and their whole life will be meaningless and everything will just be black and there's nothing even beyond the grave. They don't understand the purpose that we're living for. But you see, you are not ordained to live in confusion. You are not ordained to wander about without a plan and purpose of your life, because you see, God has a plan and purpose for everyone sitting in here tonight. If you can just find out what that plan and purpose is, and the only way that you can find out what God's plan is for you tonight is to look into His will, look into His word, and find out what God wants you to do. You see, so many people wondering if church actually works, how you're saved, and wondering even if God loves you or not. And that's one of the things I want to declare tonight, is that God's will is for you to understand that. God's will is for you to know that God loves you, that God has a purpose for you, that you're just not on some vain journey listening to some vain fables, some fables that some man cooked up. We haven't heard a message that originated from Jeffersonville. We've heard a message that originated from the throne of God on high. We've heard a message that originated directly from glory and is calling us back to glory. So we're not wondering, don't wonder tonight if you can be delivered, if you can overcome tonight, because God made a way for you to overcome the things of this world. He's made a way for you to overcome your self-will. He's made a way for you to deny your self and to be a prisoner of the word. Because you see, if you do not know His will, then you are living in self-will. You're living under the will of yourself, or maybe under the will of others. If you don't know the will of God, you're just doing something because you've heard somebody else tell you to do it, or somebody else is guiding you. But if you have a personal revelation yourself of who Jesus Christ is, and you know the word, and you know the day and the hour living in, and you know what step your life should take, then you're living under His will. You're living according to His will. You see, that's our great battle, is the battle of self-will versus His will. And Brother Branham taught us that we live in really three realms. We live in these three modes. We live in a realm of vision, which, I've never seen a vision, and maybe most of us have never seen a vision. But there's another realm that you can live in, the realm of revelation. And a revelation is when you know it to be true. Somebody's not going to come along and say, well, maybe I can reason you out of believing that the message is true. Maybe I can tell you so many people the count was off of how many people died when the bridge was being built, or some other nonsense like that. But when you have a revelation, because you understand the will of God, nothing can move you from that. The gates of hell cannot prevail against the revelation. But then there's the third realm, the third mode that we operate in almost all of the time, and that is that humanistic realm, where we get tired. We think you come to church and you get sleepy, or whatever, that sleepy spirit will get on you, and you begin to wonder, maybe even wondering within yourself, within your mind, what the preacher's preaching about, and all those things. You begin to wonder if the preacher's preaching on you, or wanting to be treated differently, wanting to be treated nicer. Many sometimes even preachers, they'll go to a particular church and they'll get all upset within themselves why they don't want to get invited to preach, and all that humanistic realm, wondering this and wondering that. But if we can get out of that realm and get into the realm of revelation, and the only way to do that, to deny self-will, requires knowing and understanding the will of God. And God's will is His word. I was just recently studying on the life of David and how he so put all of his trust in the will of God when Samuel came and poured that anointing all over his head. He knew that he was going to be king. He knew that that was the will of God in his life. And it didn't matter what Saul said or what Absalom said. He walked in a perfect confidence. It didn't even matter what David's own works were when he went with Bathsheba and did all these horrible things. The will of God had already been spoken in his life. And maybe that's another thing I want to communicate tonight is God is able to overcome all of your faults and failings. You know, Brother Branham said you'll never be an angel here or there, but you are a human and God made you that way. He made you in a way that we would need a savior. He made us in a way, we're not destined to walk around here like perfect like angels, but God's work, God already paid the price. He paid the price when he died on the cross. And it's not by your works that you'll be saved. But it's by faith and the overcoming power, the overcoming work that Jesus already performed that will give us overcoming faith, overcoming power in this day. Brother Ram said in Revelation chapter 4, 19-61, he said, yet veil, you know what that veil is that veils your heart from it? From the will of God. Are you ready? The veil is called self-will. Do you get that picture now? The senses out there, the senses on the body and the senses to the soul and the veil between that and the holy place, the holiest of holy. And the only way that you can get in there is to have self-will. For whosoever shakes hands, whosoever is immersed, whosoever joins the church, whosoever passes his letter, whosoever does what? Whosoever will come beyond the veil. Whosoever will come beyond that veil to deny yourself will when you come to church and you hear things preached that just stumbles you into whatever. Go back to the Bible and look into the will of God's word and hold it up to you like a mirror and say, is it true or not? I believe that now is the hour we should be concerned about what the will is. Maybe let me just stir up your remembrance, stir you up a little bit to get real serious about the word, because now the hour is growing late. Now is the time where people, because they don't know the will of God, have begun to fall off. We're coming to a place where the church is holding up, the bride is holding up, and people are beginning to fall off because they're not steady in the word. They don't know the will of God. But that is not so for you tonight, because you have been taught, you have been instructed in the will of God. You're not predestinated to just be wondering what's going on, wondering what's happening. You see, Brother Branham in Perseverance, he said, and that avenue is the same place that God said every man from Adam and Eve, self-will. You will to live or you will to die. Either one you want to. It's you're based on free moral agency. And whatever a spirit that you let dominate you will bring forth the fruits. Your life will be dominated by the inside. You are the one that allows either the spirit of truth or the spirit of the world to dominate you. You are the one that allows that. And you allow it by what you feed on. When you sit in your car and you listen to rap music, or you listen to the junk of the world, or you listen to all these talk shows and all the soap operas and all that nonsense, it is allowing that spirit of the world to dominate you. It is allowing that thing, those influences to dominate your life, and it will influence the way you talk and the way you act and the way you speak. But if you allow the will of God, the word of God, to dominate your life, it will influence the way you act and the way you talk and the way you respond to others. It will cause a change in your life. It will give you overcoming power, because this is not the words of a man that we've heard. We're not going to message school, but this is the words of God that we are hearing. And the word of God will not return to him void. The word of God will perform what it was sent to do. Brother Branham, in the message Thirst, he said, like Paul said, describes in Romans chapter 7 verse 21, when I would do good, then evil is nigh. When you try, ever have that in experienced Christians, that when you're trying to do something that's worthwhile, go to make an effort to do something that's good, then you find out that there is the devil on every hand just to upset you. Everything, and that's one good thing that I'd like to say this, that the Christians might know that when you're starting to do something, there is all something always trying to upset you in doing it, do it anyhow. That's the devil there trying to keep you from doing it. Now, many times I meet people that's prone to be a little nervous when they find out that they're trying to do something and everything is just blocking it off on both sides. They say, it might not been the will of the Lord. See? Now, don't let the devil lie to you like that. The first thing is find out whether it's the will of God or not. And then if you want to know whether it's the will of God, here's the clincher of the whole thing. If you want to find out whether it's the will of God or not, look in the Bible. Look into the Bible. Now, there you got a quote. It's not just Brother Bob saying this. Listen, if you want to find out if the person that you're talking to is the right kind of a mate for your life, look in the Bible. If you want to find out if you're wearing the right kind of clothes, look in the Bible. If you want to find out whether the job that you're looking for is okay for you to work there because they work on Sunday and work on Wednesdays and all those kind of things, look in the Bible. If you want to find out how to raise your family, look in the Bible and the Bible will tell you. If you want to find out the will of God for your life, look in the Bible. If you want to find out the will of God for the whole bride of the age, look in the Bible. The Bible is the will of God. If you want to find out how to live and how to do, look in the Bible. And then if you want to know whether it's the will of God, look into the Bible. There is the thing that sets you straight, is the Word of God. And then if you see it's in the Word of God, for you to do it. Like, for instance, seeking for the baptism of the Holy Ghost. Many times I've run into people say, well, I have sought for the Holy Ghost and I just couldn't receive it. I don't believe it's for me. Every time I get down, I get sick. And I go to praying. If I fast, I get sick. And if I try to stay all night, I stay up. I get so sleepy. I can't get off my feet. Remember, that is the devil. Because God intends for you to have the Holy Spirit. It's for whosoever will. Many times you find when you've prayed in a meeting for divine healing, then the next day you find out, no doubt, that the devil will make that twice as bad as it was the day before. See, remember, that's just Satan trying to get you away from the blessing that God has got for you. See, don't you listen to that fellow. See, always press right on. You see, what he's talking about here in this quote is when you're trying to obey the will of God, when you find out what God wants you to do, like get the Holy Ghost, be born again, then the devil's going to attack you and he's going to tell you it's not for you and all those kind of things. But the ammunition against the devil is the will of God, which is the Word of God. Throw the will of God in the devil's face whenever he tries to tell you that that experience you had years ago is not true. That the things that God has shown you are not through. Throw that will of God back in his face, and that will give you faith. Because as you confess the Word of God, as you go through your life, as you go through this journey, God is molding your confession so that you'll say the right thing, so that it gets honed down. He's molding your confession so that you know exactly what to do to the devil. So that when the devil comes and says, that I don't know about that. I don't know if this message is true. I don't know if the Bible is true. Then you know how to attack him. And I believe one thing that you can throw back in the devil's face when he comes and tells you that the message is not true is this story that I'm reading tonight in 2 Kings chapter 8. Because there was a woman that after 7 years she came out and everything was restored unto her. And the same thing is happening to the bride after 7 years traveling around. She's come back and she's crying to the king. I know what I'm supposed to have. Everything is supposed to be restored to me. Because listen, that woman knew the will of God, and you're supposed to know the will of God. You're supposed to know what you're doing here tonight. You're supposed to have an understanding of what place and what position you have, because God's will is his word. That Shunammite woman, she believed for a child and it was raised from the dead. And she trusted God to go down into the enemy's land to preserve her during the famine. And she came out the other side. She came out and she was, because she was walking in the will of God. God's will is her word. And see, back then, in her particular instance, maybe she didn't have a loose leaf Bible to page through. But what she had was the Word of God manifested in a prophet that told her, go here and do this. And she clung to that prophet's words. She clung to his words and did exactly as she was bidden. Until the end of the story, when she come out of that 7 years and it came time for her to go into the land. You see, I'm getting ahead of myself, but see, The Shunammite woman was promised a child. Think about another woman in the Bible that was promised a child. That was promised a child that was relying and trusting on the will of God and then got out of that will of God. I'm speaking of Eve, because you see, Eve wanted to know the will of God by getting ahead of God's program. She wanted to know the will of God. It was very mysterious how things were going to take place in her life. The Bible says in Genesis chapter 1 verses 26 and 27 that God had told them be fruitful and multiply and replenish the earth and subdue it. He told them what the will of God was for her life. And so they had the will of God, but she was wondering maybe how it would be accomplished. And day after day went by and she didn't see anything happening. And then the devil came down and got in the beast and began to plant some new ideas in her mind. You see how slick the devil and shrewd the devil is. And the devil's doing the same thing today. People are sitting in message churches and they begin to think day by day that I don't see maybe anything happening, not realizing how God's will is supposed to work in your life. You don't watch a pot for it to boil. You don't go look at the seed and say, every day you go look at it again, but you just keep plant that seed and plant it in good ground and just keep watering it, and by it'll come up. So Eve got out from under the will of God by she tried to get ahead of God's program. She began to lose trust, lose confidence in Adam, in her husband. She began to lose trust, I'll say, in the ministry. She began to think, well, maybe the ministry doesn't know what they're talking about. Maybe there's another avenue that I can go to get the will of God in my life. Her purpose, you see, was to bring forth life by the spoken word, but it had not been made manifest and had not been made real to her yet. And her purpose, you see, was to have total dominion over the earth. Let's go back and read Genesis 1, 27 and 28 again. God created man in his own image. In the image of God created he him. Male and female created he them. And God blessed them and said unto them, be fruitful and multiply and replenish the earth and subdue it and have dominion over the fish of the sea and over the fowl of the air and over every living thing. Over every living thing that moveth upon the earth. Eve was predestinated to have dominion over the earth. And you were predestinated not to cow down to the devil, but to have authority over the devil. Not because of your own ideas, of your own self-will, but because you know the will of God. Because the will of God is made manifest in you, and you know how to react to the lies of the devil. Your plan and purpose, God has ordained you to be in authority, to have complete dominion over the earth, to have dominion over your flesh, to have dominion over your self-will, to have dominion and authority over the little things that used to bother you, the lust of the flesh and the pride of life and all these things. God has raised you up to have dominion over these things. This is what the bride has been called for. And you see, Eve was called to those things, to have complete dominion over the earth, but yet she was promised a child, you see, just like this Shunammite woman was promised a child, but she got out from under the will of God. The will of God for Adam and Eve. Many of those things are the same thing for us. You see, the will of God for Adam was not to be alone. The will of God for Adam was not to go through life alone. And God doesn't want that for you and I. You see, he doesn't want us to just be alone as we go through life. He wants you to come to church and go through this spiritual journey with other people. He wants you to fellowship with other people. Even when Jesus sent the preachers out to go preach in the street, he didn't send them alone. He sent them two by two. He said, don't go alone, but take somebody with you, because he doesn't want you to be alone. He wants you to have a helpmeet. He wants you to have other brothers and sisters to fellowship with. He wants you to have, like in Proverbs, where iron sharpeneth iron, that the brothers we're always quoting here in church. Iron sharpeneth iron. We sharpen one another. And when you go off alone and you don't fellowship with other, I believe that you, in that part of the word of God, you are outside of the will of God, because you are not meant to be alone. You are not meant to be isolated, but you're supposed to be part of something, part of a great organism, a great moving of God. God, the bride of Christ, the will of God for Adam and Eve was to control nature and to fulfill the word of God, to see the word of God fulfilled in their members. The will of God for Adam and Eve was not for them to be constantly coughing and sick and dealing with all these health problems and things, but the will of God was for them to be healthy. And that's the will of God for you tonight, if you can just believe that. The will of God is for you to be healed. God wants you to be healed. He wants you to be well. He doesn't want you to be suffering in depression with a big old dark cloud over you, going around wondering if why you're so anxious and everything. He doesn't want you to have anxiety, because the Bible says to fear not, take no thought for the morrow. He wants you to be, to have peace and comfort and all those things. He wants you to have joy unspeakable. He wants you to be able to bring forth life. And Adam and Eve, they were predestined to bring forth life. And the bride is bringing forth life also by the spoken word, because she's predestined to do the greater works, to speak the word of life into the heart of the unbeliever. And they hear the word and they become a believer. Because when you hear the word, you are hearing from your theophany. You're hearing from the eternal. And that bursts the eternal life in you. You were predestinated. That's the will of God for your life. The will of God, you see, is who God is, how to serve God, how to live, what you're doing here, what you should be interested in, who to marry, whether you should go to church or not, your place as a Christian, what God wants you to be. All those things are wrapped up in will, in the will of God. Everybody doing all right? Brother Ramsey said, in one in a million, let me give you a shocking something. He said, see, not all that saith unto me, Lord, Lord, will enter in, but the one that doeth the will of my Father. His will is his word. We can be ever so religious, have great time shouting, jumping in these meetings, which were, I don't want to be critical, but I have a duty to do to God. And that duty is to be sincere and to say what he wants me to say. And I'm certainly grateful for the California chapter who has bore with me in my convictions. In other words, he's saying it's great if you jump and shout and all those things, and it's, there's nothing wrong with that. And many times when you catch a hold to the revelation of the, of who you are and what God's doing for you, that he can save you from your sins and all of those things, you will jump and shout. But the main thing is, do you know the will of God for your life? Have you caught the will of God? Have you caught the purpose and plan of God? And his will is his word. And the choosing of a bride, Brother Ramsey said, the true church of Christ, the bride is so sold out to him and his promised word, till the very mind that's in Christ is in you. What a difference. And we find today that the modern church, a modern world church, the modern world church, and also the spiritual church are both pregnated to give birth to sons. And we'll skip on down. The other is pregnant by the word of God in paragraph 170. It will bring forth a body, the finished body of Jesus Christ, which is the bride. The body of Christ isn't finished yet. And then keep skipping on down to the red. Now she, the true bride, so sold out to him that she used no mind of her own. His mind, of course, is his will, and his will is his word. So do you see what happens when you receive the word? You are actually partaking in the mind of Christ, and it is transforming your mind. It is transforming your mind so that you understand his will, so that you think like him, so that you act like him, so that you behave like him. It is important to understand the will of God. You see, God's will, let's start out kind of basic for a second and work our way up. God's will is for you to be saved. In John chapter 3, it says, as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, even so must the Son of Man be lifted up, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have eternal life. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish. Whosoever, in other words, it's an open invitation to whosoever will. The will of God is whoever will come can be saved. In 1 Timothy, for this is good and acceptable in the sight of God our Savior, who will have all men to be saved and to come under the knowledge of the truth. Think about that, that God wants everybody to be saved. Who will have all men to be saved. God wants every single person in here tonight to be saved. The only thing that is preventing that is your own self-will, your own inability to open up the door of your heart and just let him in. It's not by your crying and praying and all these other things. It's as simple as whosoever will believe, whosoever will accept the word of God for your day, whosoever will just believe it will be saved. And the invitation is open. You see, that's kind of starting from the basic end, but now we're going to get up to the will of God for this day in Romans chapter 8 verse 26. You see that God's will for the bride in this day is to be conformed to the image of his son. The will of God, and that's what I was alluding to earlier, is and maybe I'm wrong, I'll take correction, but I don't believe that the denominational world understands this part of the word of God. They do not understand that the will of God in this day is for the life of God to be made manifest in a bride, for him to reveal himself into a bride until she becomes the living word made manifest, the walking word, so much that it is actually God made manifest in a people, walking and living, doing the same works, acting the same way, thinking the same way, obeying the word just like Jesus did. In Romans chapter 8 verse 26 to 31 it says, likewise the Spirit also helpeth our infirmities, for we know not what we should pray for as we ought, but the Spirit itself maketh intercession for us with groanings which cannot be uttered. And what's it groaning for? Listen to this. And he that searcheth the hearts knoweth what is the mind of the Spirit, because he maketh intercession for the saints according to the will of God. In other words, according to the word of God. And we know that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are the called according to his purpose, because they are walking in the will of God. And then it doesn't matter. Now, this is what confuses people many times, as you'll see Peter hanging and upside down on the cross, and you'll say, well, he must have been outside of the will of God. You'll see Jesus dying on the cross, and you'll say, well, he must have been outside of the will of God. But they were walking absolutely in the perfect will of God. Walking in the will of God does not mean that it will be a flowery bed of roses. Sometimes there will be persecution and hard times and dying on the crosses and dying out to your self-will and struggling through life and all those things. But when you're walking in the will of God, you're walking into plan and purpose that God has for you. And think about the grace that God has shown us in this hour to be able to make manifest his word in our lives, to fulfill his word, and to have confidence that when we leave this world, we're going to a place where we will abide and rest eternally. And you can have that too, because that's an open invitation. Whosoever will, let him come. And the book of Revelation, the Spirit and the Bride both say come. Whosoever come will come. The invitation is open. All you have to do is believe. But see, God's will is for you to be saved. God's will is for you to make manifest his word. And God's will is for you to overcome. The Holy Spirit, the Holy Ghost was not given for you to just be able to cow down to the devil and just to let him run all over you. But it was given for you to overcome the flesh, the lust of the flesh and all of those different things. Because you see, you weren't predestinated to conform to the world. You were not predestinated to be under the power. We'll just say it openly. You were not predestinated to be under the power of pornography. To sit there and have that spirit over you and to just sit in front of the computer and look at the lust of the flesh and sit and be under the power, the dominion of that. You were not predestinated to be under the power of cigars and smoking and all that kind of stuff. You were not predestinated to be under that power, the influence of that, other things of this world. under the influence of the World Wide Web, where you get sucked into that web that ensnares so many people into under all that stuff, under all that condemnation, that just eating on that, what feeding on that will cause your life to degrade under the influence of the world. And you were not called to be under the influence of drug addiction. You were not called to set aside a little money every month for your marijuana addiction. Set aside a little money every month so you could go and fulfill all of those lusts of the flesh and things like that. You were not predestinated to be under the influence of the worldly dominion, to be under the power of enmity and hatred and anxiety and depression and complexes, to be under the power of a loveless marriage or a godless home, to be under the power of all the sin. But God has given you the power to overcome, and the power to overcome is to loose, to deny your own will and open up your heart to the will of God, which is His Word. You cannot overcome your self-will and the things of this world any other way but by eating on the Word, of eating on the tree of life, eating on that will of God. You cannot overcome by your own works, by your own struggling and striving. The only way that you can overcome is by the Word of God. You will eat your way to overcoming. We're eating our way to overcoming the things of this world. I think so many times it's so difficult for us to accept that you are not saved. When we come to church, so many people in this message today think that the message is full of legalism and rules and things. Rules about how to dress and rules about how to behave. And we can't do this. We can't drink alcohol. We can't go to the movies. We can't do all those things. That's not what the message is about. And I would say out to you on the internet, that's not what the message is about, whoever's listening. The message is about receiving the Word of God so that God can change you from the inside. And that will cause a transformation in your life. And you will know then, by knowing the will of God for your life, how to act and how to dress. And it won't be you thinking on how you should act and then doing that, but it will be an automatic process. An automatic process when somebody slaps you in the face. An automatic response that you don't turn around and slap them back. Because the transformation has been from the inside out, not from the outside in. We're not serving a God that requires us to work and to do all these things and to labor in ourself and to push a penny with our nose like the Catholics and to do all these things, to do all these works. This is a workless religion that we believe. It is not us doing works, but it is God performing the work in us. It's God doing the work, not us doing the work. He is performing the work. He is the one that justified us. He is the one that sanctified us. He's the one that filled us with the Holy Ghost, and we had nothing to do in it at all except for opening the door of our heart and saying, come in, I'll accept you. It is not us doing it. It is not by works that we are saved. It is not our works that justify us. Our flesh is not justified by our works. That's carnality. To think that there's anything good that we can do in ourselves. To think that there's anything good that we could do at all that would save us. We needed a Savior to come and die on the cross for us. We needed a Redeemer to come and die to pay the price. And that price paid the price. When that price was paid, it paid it completely. There is nothing else that you have to do. All you have to do is believe that He paid the price. He paid the price, and then He gives you the token that the price has been paid, and all you have to do is say, I know, I believe that the price has been paid. The price has been paid, and that token gives you the right to get on the train, to get on the flight home. It gives you the right to get back, to get on the channel of God's will for your life. There is nothing else required that other than that you believe it. But God, believing it, will give you overcoming power. It will give you power to overcome the flesh. It will give you power to overcome your spirit. It will give you power. And that's why when you get amongst believers, you'll see believers acting different from the world, behaving different from the world. And you might be confused and look on that like they have a set of rules. They have to do it that way. But it's not a set of rules. That's a law where God has written His word on the tables of your heart. And you automatically act that way. You automatically behave that way because God is living on the inside. That's when you know it's real, is when you're not putting on, when you're not showing off, you're not trying to impress nobody, but you're just being genuine. I like people to be genuine. If you have a temper, just be genuine. If you have a little road rage every now, just be genuine. And when God overtakes that road rage one day, then it'll be a genuine overcoming. And everybody know that it has been God that overcame in you. And it's not something that you just worked up in yourself. But God conquered that thing in you. I believe in being genuine, not just hypocritical, but being a real genuine, be a real genuine unbeliever if you're going to be a real genuine unbeliever. And then when you're a believer, you can be a real genuine believer. Be a real genuine thing, whatever you are. Brother Branham said in the Pergamene church age, he said, the bride has the mind of Christ, for she knows what he wants done with the word. She performs the command of the word in his name, for she has, thus saith the Lord. Then the word is quickened by the Spirit, and it comes to pass. You think about how, if you know the will of God, and you speak it by faith, knowing and understanding the will of God, it will come to pass. The spoken word was the original seed, and the spoken word of God has to come to pass. And when you speak it by faith, it has to come to pass. Brother Branham said, like a seed that is planted and watered, it comes to full harvest, serving its purpose. And he continues on, those in the bride do only his will. Think about that. The bride does only his will. No one can make them do otherwise. They have thus saith the Lord, or they keep still. They know that it has to be God in them doing the works. It's not you doing the works. But that should make everybody just shout. Even if you're just on the inside. It's not you doing the works. It's God on the inside performing His will in you. He is the one doing His works. He said fulfilling His own word. He did not complete all His work while in His earthly ministry. So now He works in and through the bride. He's performing His works in you to fulfill His will by revealing His will to you. Let's keep reading this story. In 2 Kings chapter 8 verse 3, it says, and it came to pass at the 7 years end that the woman returned out of the land of the Philistines, and she went forth to cry unto the king for her house, for her land. So now she's coming out after 7 years. She's coming out. She's coming out. And she knows now what she's here for. She's got to, the land that she was given, that she left when she went into the land of the Philistines, is hers by right. Because it was given to her family by Joshua when they came over the Red Sea. That is her family's inheritance. It belongs to her. And now she knows what right she has. That land is the land where that bore fruit for her family. This land to you is the promise of overcoming power. It's the promise of the seals being opened to you. It's the promise of a revelation of the body change, how to take a body change. And you have a right to this. If you know the will of God, you have a right to this because God has given it to you, not because of anything that you have done, because of what He has done. And He's given it to you, and it's your right, and you can claim it. You can claim it by looking into the Word and seeing what God has given it to you. But you see, it's got to be by revelation. And so many times we'll say, "Well, we can read in the Word where it says thus and thus and such," but when the Word is revealed to you, it reveals to you not only the Word, not only the true meaning, but what to do with it. That's why the preaching of the Word is not just to get get up behind the pulpit and say the word. But the preaching of the word is how to swing the sword. You know, you think about if somebody were to come into a church and just be new and not understand things, you wouldn't want to just chop their head off. If somebody's coming into a church with depression and anxiety, you wouldn't want to just heap more coals of fire on their head, but you would want to swing that sword with wisdom. And the same thing in every believer's life. When God gives you a revelation of His Word, He's not just giving you the correct interpretation, but He's giving you knowledge and wisdom of how, what to do with it. When to, like Brother Branham, when he was speaking and those people, that couple was out there kissing and doing all those things in the audience, he had wisdom and knowledge of the correct thing to do with the Word. Not just to just swing that sword and lop their heads off, but to forgive, because God had given him wisdom of what to do with the Word. We've got the Word, but do we have a revelation of the Word? And I believe that's what we should be crying out for and seeking, a revelation of the Word. How do you get a revelation of the Word? The revelation of the Word comes by the Word, because the Word on top of the Word, it will water itself. It will bring forth the Word. You see, and I've got all these stories of y'all starting to get sleepy on me. Hang in there now. We're in the home stretch. In 1 Kings chapter 22, there's a story of the king of Israel when he said, they went down, the king of Israel said unto his servants, are y'all all right in the bag? Do y'all lose me? 1 Kings chapter 22, verse 3. All right, I'll keep going on. 1 Kings chapter 22 verse 3 tells a story of the king of Israel. These two kings, they knew that the land in Ramoth Gilead was theirs, but they went to go get it without a revelation of how they should go get it. You see, the land was theirs. It was a biblical promise that the land was theirs, but they didn't do it by a revelation. And it says, and the king of Israel and Jehoshaphat, the king of Judah, sat each on his throne, having put on their robes. And the story goes that Zedekiah, the son of Chenaanah, made him horns of iron. And he said, thus saith the Lord, with these shalt thou push the Syrians until thou have consumed them. He was a preacher preaching the literal text off of the page. The word, it was actually scriptural what he was saying, that Ramoth Gilead was theirs. It was their land, but they didn't go get it by revelation, because there was a little prophet that came on the scene and he said, Micah, I saw all Israel scattered upon the hills as sheep that have not a shepherd. And the Lord said, these have no master. Let them return every man to his house in peace. You see, what I'm getting at tonight is that we must have a revelation of the Word to know the will of God for our day. Understanding that you look at Matthew 28:19, where Jesus said that baptize in the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Ghost. And you can read that with just taking the letters off of the page, but the letters will kill you. But when you understand it with a revelation, when God speaks to you and opens up the true meaning of that, how the correct way to be baptized, the correct approach to God, His correct will, then you can come to Him in the right way. You must have a revelation for your own self. So many times we rely on the revelation of our mama and daddy to tell us who we should get married to. Let's say it like that. To tell us where we should live and what church we should go to. But you've got to have a revelation for yourself. And all of these young people in this church, one day you're going to come to a place where you're going to have to make a decision what kind of a church you go to. You're going to make a decision whether or not you sit at home and just stream in, or sit at home and listen to tapes, or whether you actually go to a church that has a pastor. You're going to have to make a decision, and it's going to have to be based upon your personal revelation. It can't be based upon your mom and daddy's revelation. We'll read another story in the Bible in 1 Kings. This is another one in Kings. 1 Kings chapter 13. There was an old prophet in Bethel, and his sons came and told him all the works that the man of God, another prophet, had done in Bethel, the words which he had spoken unto the king. We've got two prophets here, and one prophet went to do the word of the Lord, and God told him, don't deviate to the right or the left. And this old prophet, old revered prophet, came and told him, come on over to my house, and we'll sit and fellowship for a little bit. And he said, well, God, the first prophet said, well, God told me not to deviate to the right or to the left. And the old prophet who had been around for a while and should know some things or not, the Bible says he lied. The Bible says that he said that God told me to tell you to come over to my house. You see, that same thing is being carried out today where people rely so much on what other people tell them to do, what other people tell them where they should go to church and all these things, that they don't trust in God for a personal revelation of their own. Because that first prophet listened to the lie of the other prophet, he died. The lion jumped out and killed him. You see, don't get tired on me now. This is important. You've got to have your own revelation of the Word of God. You've got to have a personal revelation. It's not enough just to know the letter of the Word, because the letter killeth. But when you have a revelation, when you have a personal revelation of what kind of person God wants you to marry, did you know you can have that? You can have a personal revelation of what kind of job God wants you to have. God can reveal to you where He wants you to work, but that's got to be your personal revelation. It don't work if your mama and daddy are constantly guiding you. It don't work if you're constantly having to go to somebody else to instruct you in what you should do and what path you should take. But when God reveals to you the way that God can save you, when He reveals you to you that He can fill you with the Holy Ghost, when He reveals to you that He can fill you with all of these virtues, when He reveals you to you that He can make manifest in your life the capstone, when He reveals to you all those things, it's not something that somebody else told you, but it's something that God has personally revealed to you. And when it's revealed, it will come to pass. That's one thing I think so many in the message are kind of getting weary with. They're wondering if the Word will actually produce something. And we'll go back to what I originally said. The reason the Word is not effective in your life is because of your self-will. Self-will will prevent the Word from coming to pass and being made manifest in your life. But when you allow the Word to take effect in your life, when you shun all these worldly influences, when you don't eat from off of that tree of knowledge of good and evil, and you begin to eat from the tree of life, then it will produce the Word in your life. It will make itself manifest. And let's keep going through this story. I'm trying to come to a stopping point. I see everybody get kind of tired. And you know, when you get tired, that's when it gets real good. don't listen to the devil. The devil try to get that sleepy spirit on you and just ruin your blessing. And 2 Kings chapter 8 verses 4 to 6, we'll just keep reading on. And the king talked with Gehazi, the servant of the man of God, saying, tell me, I pray thee, all the great things that Elisha hath done. All right, we got it up. Tell me all these great things that Elisha had done. And while he's talking, while Gehazi's testifying to the king, here comes the woman. And it came to pass as he was telling the king how he had restored a dead body to life, that behold, the woman whose son he had restored to life cried to the king for her house and for her land. And Gehazi said, my lord, O king, this is the woman, and this is her son whom Elisha restored to life. And when the king asked the woman, she told him. So the king appointed unto her a certain officer, saying, restore all that was hers and all the fruits of the field since the day that she left the land, even until now. You see, this woman, as Gehazi was testifying of what had happened, that this woman had had a son promised to her, and this son had been raised from the dead. And now this woman actually comes before the king, and she has the evidence that the promised son is risen in her midst. And I want to say tonight that the bride has the evidence that Jesus Christ is risen from the dead, that He is walking in her midst, in the midst of the church. He is fulfilling and performing the same acts. He's acting the same way that He did when He walked on the shores of Galilee. And He is the evidence. Just like this son was not walking with this woman. It was not just a little baby anymore, but he had grown up into the full stature. He was walking there in his fullness. And she came and she said, This is the Son. I have the evidence that He has risen from the dead. And that's what the whole world is looking for today. The evidence that the promised Son is risen from the dead. And the bride is the one that has that evidence, because the bride knows the will of God. And the will of God was for all that she had lost, all that she had lost, to be restored. You see, we're not living in an age of where God, nobody is taken back now. God is not taken back. But this is an age of restoration, where everything that we have lost has been given back. This is there is a ministry on earth preaching to a people that cannot fail, that you cannot fail, because you're living in an age where God, everything, the windows of heaven have been opened up, and all the word has been restored, so that you could know the word for your day. Listen, the promise of the word is that in Revelation chapter 11 verse 15, the kingdoms of this world have become the kingdoms of our Lord and of His Christ, and He shall reign forever and ever. What that means is that God is overcoming everything. The promise that the bride has is that all of the world, all of these things are, you have power to overcome in you. Yeah, that's what you were not predestinated to live under the power of sin, or to get joy out of the things of this world, but you were predestinated and promised to overcome, you see. And words, the word has an effect. You know, even in our humanistic realm, when you speak words to one another at work, it creates an atmosphere. When you sit in church and you know, when the word begins to get preached real, real hard, and it'll create like almost a settled atmosphere where everybody kind of gets tensed up a little bit. Because words will create an atmosphere. Words will have an effect. The word of God is having an effect in your life. It's causing something to take place. The word is creating an atmosphere. And we have not heard just the words of a man, but the word spoken is creating an atmosphere in our lives, just like the word spoken in Genesis created an atmosphere for an overcoming man and woman to walk in and live in. It created an atmosphere. And the words that are spoken tonight, I believe, are creating an atmosphere of faith, because whenever the word of God is spoken, it will cause the people to catch a hold and to realize the will of God, to be able to look into the word of God. His word will produce. Words can sting and cut and harm and all those things. But you see, any kind of relationship is founded on words. Any kind of a relationship between a man and a woman is based on words. Not so much feeling. It might start on feelings and emotion and all those kind of things. And I'll say that's maybe where Pentecost failed, is because they got so caught up in the emotion that they failed to continue on to the words that are being spoken. But we're now not under a dispensation so much of emotion and feeling and everything, but now we're coming into a true relationship, true fellowship with God, which is based on words. Words will have an effect, and the word of God falling into your soul will have an effect on your life. It will produce. But the only thing that's keeping it from producing is the ground. That's that parable that Jesus told in Matthew chapter 13, that some seeds fell by the wayside, some fell upon stony places, some fell among thorns, and all of those things prevented the word from producing. But if it falls into good ground, if the word of God falls into a ground where you're willing to die out to yourself, where you're willing to search out the word, where you're willing to find out whether these things are true or not, it will produce. You see, you're actually a creator. When you speak the words of God, we're in training ground to be creators, because God is teaching us how to speak the word. And when you speak the word, it creates an atmosphere. And it will produce. Brother Ram said, in looking at the unseen, when a man once catches that vision of the invisible God and know that He's always present, there's something that stabilizes that man's thinking. It stabilizes his actions, and in the time of distress and trouble, it'll still make him look upward and above the things that are happening around him, because he's looking at the unseen, yet by promise, now how Abraham, not only did he see the unseen, and the reason he believed it was because God said it. And if we being dead in Christ, we are Abraham's seed. And if the spirit that was in Christ dwells in us, it does the same thing. It does the same thing. And I'm a close on that while I just kind of finish up. You have musicians can come forward. You see, the reason why we are Abraham's seed is because we know that if God said it, we'll just believe it. The reason he believed it was because God said it. If God said it, then that is God's word. That is his will. His will is his word. So maybe I'll leave you tonight with a question. What kind of heart do you have? A heart to believe God's word? A heart just to accept it, to accept the word of God, to open up your heart, to accept the will of God? The reason he believed it was because God said it. If God said you can be healed, you can be healed. If God said you can receive the Holy Ghost, you can receive it. If God said it, you can believe it. The reason he believed it was because God said it. Let's stand to our feet. You love the Lord tonight? I believe a revelation of God's word gives us something to worship with. A real believer should be able to worship like nobody else. Let's sing a song.
There's a blessed time that's coming, coming soon. It may be evening, morning, or at noon. The way of the bride, united with the groom, we shall see the King. We shall see the King. We shall see the King.
You believe that tonight? Just worship the Lord.
We shall see the King when he comes. He's coming in power. Hail the blessed hour. We shall see the King when he comes.
If you have a need tonight, if God said it, just believe it. You can believe it right there in your seat. If God said it, just open up your heart tonight and accept it. Accept that it's already done. Whether you need healing or salvation, a touch from God, just a reminder that he still loves you, just believe it because he said it in his word, and his word is his will. Aren't you just grateful that you have access to the will of God tonight to be able to look into his will and know his plan and purpose for you? He said it, and we can believe it.
He's coming in power. Oh, hail the blessed hour. We shall see the King when he comes. Oh, my brother, are you ready for the call to crown your Savior, King and Lord of all? The kingdoms of this world shall soon before you fall. We shall see the King when he comes.
I believe we're seeing him right now, don't you?
We shall see the King.
We're singing the coming of the Word.
We shall see the King. We shall see the King when he comes. He's coming in power. Oh, hail the blessed hour. We shall see the King when he comes.
Amen. You love the Lord tonight? Let's just sing one more.
You have longed for sweet peace and for faith to increase and have earnestly, fervently pray. 103 in the red book. But you cannot have rest or be perfectly blessed until you're all on the altar is laid. Is your all?
to see Abel's self-will on that altar. Abel up on that altar when he brought his sacrifice. He wants to see you on that altar, denying yourself. Body and soul, you'll have peace and sweet rest.
Thank you, Lord.
All hearts and minds clear. You love the Lord? Anything else? All right, let's just go to the Lord in prayer and we'll be dismissed. Lord God, we thank you so much, Lord Jesus, for your grace to us tonight. Lord God, we know, Lord, that you're here, Lord Jesus. We pray, Lord God, that you'll just go with your people, Lord, tonight as they go their separate ways, Lord, and minister to them according to their need, Lord Jesus. We know, Lord God, that your word will not return to your void, Lord Jesus. And I just pray, Lord God, that your word will be manifested, Lord Jesus, to your people tonight. Bless this church, Lord God. Bless Brother Dale and all the ones, Lord Jesus, with their jobs. And help us, Lord Jesus, to just have a desire, a greater desire to serve you more and more every day. We ask these things and these blessings upon your people in your name. Amen. You're dismissed.
Oh, we need